Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
Chapter 7, look down there to verse number 36. What's happening here? This is kind of when Jesus' ministry is all still sort of new, and he hadn't been sort of ostracized by much of the proper religious people. And you're going to encounter a fellow here. His name is Simon, and the Bible tells us that he is a Pharisee. For those of you who don't know, who is a Pharisee? A Pharisee was a Jewish person who took the laws of Moses, all 613, very, very seriously. They really believed that they could keep the law. And not only the 613 some do's and don'ts, but they added a bunch on top of that. So much so that there was tradition plus all the laws of Moses. There were so many rules to keep. And they prided themselves on basically showing up to public events and saying, boy, are we just hitting it out of the park with God. Also, the Sanhedrin stipulated that there were never more than 6,000 Pharisees in all of the land of Israel. So to be in this sort of fraternity, it was real special. And often these were the people who were wealthy, so they had the largest houses. And with that, watch what this Pharisee does. Verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house. Parenthetically, I want you to notice something, that our Lord never passed up an invitation to go eat with somebody. Two things. I think not because he was hungry, but also in this culture, to break bread with someone was pretty special. It's a picture of fellowship. Put your Jesus glasses on. Here's a really religious guy, and God knows his heart. Jesus knows his heart. But he receives the invitation, and I want you to notice something, that Jesus always opens his heart and gives his presence to anyone who will ask of him. Pretty cool. So he said, okay, I'll go to the Pharisee's house, and they sat down to eat. Now we got to set the stage for you a little bit. If you were to go to somebody's house in this setting, they would have a table, but it would be very close to the floor. And it would just be filled with pillows. And what you would do is you would sort of lean on your one elbow, typically the right elbow, with your feet stretched behind you all the way around, typically a U-shaped table. Now what they would do is they didn't have really forks and knives. They leaned on their elbow, feet behind them, so that they could shovel everything in with their left hand. And also, too, because this gathering was very large, Pharisees did little privately. Whenever it had to do with their magnanimous personalities, they wanted everybody to see it. And in this setting, probably one of the largest houses in town would also contain one of the largest courtyards, and that's likely where all this was being done. And also, because it was in this courtyard, people from the outside could sort of walk up and even get real close to the table. You can't eat anything, but you can watch us eat. That's our boy. Now, because this crowd is mixed and people are watching, verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now we're going to get more to the story because we're going to find out that her hair is loosened, as it were, so much so that in a minute she's going to use it for a pretty special purpose. And women in this society didn't wear their hair long unless they were probably a harlot, a prostitute, using their long hair as a kind of an advertisement. She was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house in the courtyard, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. What this was, alabaster, as you know, is a mineral of the earth, and it is porous. It will hold liquid, but as the flask was worn, typically on a necklace near the surface of the skin, the flask itself would get warm to a typical body temperature. And when it did, the perfume inside, just enough could seep out through the pores, not draining the flask, but just enough so that fragrant aroma would kind of follow. It's sort of time-released, as it were, fragrance. And so she takes this alabaster flask and she breaks off the neck. What does that mean? From outside history and some other locations, we know that a flask like this was worn only by the wealthy, because that's all who could really afford it. In another location, when another flask is open and poured on the head of our Lord later, right before his death, it says that that flask was a whole year's wage. Here's what this lady is doing. The event that happened just in front of this occasion, you can read about that in Matthew chapter 11, starting at about verse 28. Jesus said just a few hours ago, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And evidently, this woman took Jesus up on that invitation. And she follows him to the next event chronologically, which is this kind of show-off dinner that this Pharisee is showing off his hospitality to this rabbi, this controversial rabbi from Nazareth. And stood at his feet behind him, because remember, his feet are outstretched behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She would use that long hair for her sin, and that vial to some degree permeating a perfume throughout any crowd to hopefully attract the next client and then the next. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. That's not a casual snuffle, is it? Oof. She's having, I would imagine, a bit of a catharsis. Can you imagine realizing how much of a sinner you truly are? And then realizing through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that the guy sitting at this table is Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She probably also knows Jeremiah 31, that a new covenant is coming. A new covenant when all sins will be forgiven. She didn't get an invitation. She's standing here in the courtyard. She heard the words perhaps hours before, "Are you heavy laden?" And she went, "Oh man, then come to me." And she did. Whew. Powerful picture here. With her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet. Now remember, in those days, they didn't have Nikes and socks, and as a rule, they walked around with sandals. And what is it like walking around with sandals all day? That didn't bother her, not one bit. Kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now watch this. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, or within himself, "This man, some prophet he is. If he were really a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, because she's a sinner." Now he spoke within himself. You might want to write in your margin there, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, that only the Lord Jehovah knows the hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts of men. Jesus knows what's in his heart. Time out, parenthetical. Jesus is who? He is God. Oh, come on. Jesus never claimed to be God. And the New Testament never teaches he was God. Yes, it does. All over the place. Here's just one. But back to our story. Some prophet he is. If he was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. I thought to myself, how do you know what kind of woman she is, pal? You know, I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't read too much into it. But even if he did see her just by her mere appearance, that would probably be enough. But very likely, as people didn't really move around from community to community much, very likely he knew who this woman was. Very likely. Verse 40. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So Simon says, "Sure, teacher, say it." He says, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii." That's a lot of money. If a denarii is about a day's wage, then 500 denarii is about 2 years' salary. And the other guy, 50, or a whole lot less, verse 42. "And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, Simon, which of them will love him or the creditor more? Who will have the more appreciative heart?" Verse 43. Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, Jesus said, "You have rightfully judged." Verse 44. Then he, Jesus, turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet." This was basically hospitality 101, entry level. When someone would come to your house visiting in this culture, the first thing that you had your servant or yourself do, you provided them water to wash their dusty feet. This lets you know something of the motive, perhaps, of Simon's invitation. I don't know that he really wanted to honor the Lord. I think he was trying to either get in good with the crowd that was following Jesus, or maybe to show off a little bit. But you can get a hint here. He didn't even offer him any water for his feet. "But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." Verse 45. "And you gave me no kiss." In this culture, like Europe, if you travel to Europe or abroad, the kiss on the cheek is very common, and so it was here as well. "You didn't even give me a kiss, so to speak." There was no hospitality. There was no welcome. "But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time she came in. And you," verse 46, "you did not anoint my head with oil." This was an idea of respect, if you will, due respect. "You didn't bring water for my feet. You had no sensitivity for me. You didn't kiss me. You didn't welcome me. And here, you didn't give me any respect whatsoever. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Now you have to understand something. This is not about she has more sin than this guy. It's not about the amount of sin. It's the attitude towards sin. What's really going on here is he's trying to say, Simon, dude, you are as much of a sinner than she is. Just as much. The deal is, she came to this dinner, this sumptuous feast. She came to this meal with tremendous thanksgiving in her heart. You, pal, you have very little response to my presence and who I am here with you. And you guys, this says a lot about worship. She came to worship with thanksgiving. Why was she so thankful? Look at all the sin that was so apparent to her at that moment. You said, if we labor and are heavy laden, come. Well, here I am. She gave Jesus the tools, as it were, of her trade. She took on, as it were, his yoke. And because she did with great thanksgiving, realizing all that she had been forgiven of, she received from our Lord forgiveness. Look at this guy, this Pharisee. Have you ever noticed that religion is a lot like that? This person, ha! All he could see was her past. And he relegated her to that, I suppose, for the rest of her life. Jesus, our God who loves us, he sees what we will be. Oh, that's good when you come to the presence of the Lord. Religious people go, what are you doing here, sinner? Jesus goes, what? Y'all are sinners. How many sinners do we have in the room here today? Any sinners? Absolutely. What is it Billy Graham used to say? We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We can't stop. And I know this isn't seeker friendly, but please be with me in this moment with our Lord. All of us are depraved sinners. We cannot stop sinning. And if you sort of buy into the culture that we live in, you might eat with a spoon this idea of, oh, well, you know, it's really a matter of, do your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds? That's not biblical theology whatsoever. One sin only separates us from a pure and holy God. How many of you are guilty of perhaps maybe more than one sin? How about I'm going to go on a limb here, more than three sins. The religions that are around us say, ha, sinner. Please understand that at the Lord's table, to the heart that really gets it, I really am a sinner to the core. And if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for God zipping up a human suit and coming down to my level and speaking in my language, are you weary of your sin, daughter of Israel? Ding. Oh, she says inside of herself, you have no idea the weight of guilt and shame and failure and anger that I deal with. She brought her true heart to the table of thanksgiving. By the way, you remember when the Bible says that on the last night, our Lord, right before he was taken at the Seder dinner, the Last Supper, he took the bread and he took the wine and he gave thanks. You remember that? If you were to look in Greek at gave thanks, the word would be Eucharista. It's where we're going to get our word Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving for what? For all that God has done. Now, some denominations, of course, kind of take that and run with it. But in its literal sense, the word Eucharist, the bread and the cup, the wine, speak of great, what, everybody? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? That we're not going to die in our sins if we've given Jesus Christ our hearts. And here we are in America. We get ball games later this afternoon. We got leftovers, hopefully, prayerfully, in the refrigerator. How many guys love the turkey sandwich? You know, you put the turkey in there, you get a little of that cranberry sauce on the top and some stuffing. Oh, that's good stuff. We are a blessed people. We are blessed. We are blessed. When so much of the country is staggering, really, from the greatest drought that California, Arizona, and parts of Utah have ever had, ever. The point of it is, every time it rains around here, I'm always mindful of God's provision. Did you know that when you're not thinking about Him, He's thinking about you? It's kind of like gravity. Sometimes we're not mindful of gravity, but gravity is always there. His love for us is always there. And I want you to notice, well, Lord, you don't know what I've done. Boy, have I been a goober. Have I been a goofball? Doesn't matter. Didn't He say, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She took Him up on it. She brought all of the instruments of her sin and laid it at His feet. And just let all of that thanksgiving pour forth. And Jesus didn't say, easy girl. What did He say? Watch what He says. Verse 48. Then He said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with Him began to say to themselves, what? Who is this who even forgives sin? That's a good point. Who is the only person? Who is the only entity, sentient being, that really is in the place and position to forgive sin, y'all? Who is it? It's God. Who's sitting at this table, everybody? God in the flesh. Verse 50. Then He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in consternation and woulda, shoulda, couldas. Go in what, everybody? And isn't that what He said? Come to me and I'll give you peace. That's all my message is. That's all I got. What we're going to do now, you might have noticed, we didn't pass out our communion during the worship like we typically do. We're going to save it here to the end. So ushers, if you could come up to the front. And what we're going to do now, we're going to have the worship team come back up. And if you would, as the ushers come to your row, just pass it on down. But if you would you hold on to it for just a moment and ask the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have the same heart as this woman. The Pharisee said, I don't really think I need much forgiveness because after all, I'm dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. Jesus says, if that's your understanding, then you love little. Would you join me in prayer, everybody, and close your eyes and maybe bow your heads for just a second? Lord, some may be saying this morning, I like the passion on that guy, that pastor. He's pretty fired up about this story. But Lord, as I look inside of my own heart, the temperature is about lukewarm, really. He that has been forgiven much loves much. What that means is, when you really come to grips and really understand what He has forgiven you of, if it really sinks in that if it wasn't for His death on the cross, if it wasn't for God leaving heaven, zipping up a human suit, all for the purpose of dying for all of my sin, then that's maybe why some of the lukewarmness remains. Holy Spirit, come. Come this morning, Lord, and be with us.
listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.